Okay, we're in Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph today. If you remember, we'll take it from the top. So we'd spoken about the Shita of Rav and Shmuel in previous days. Said if a Ketana accepts Kiddushin and the father signs off on it later, then you have to be choshesh that there's Kiddushin and she needs a get and she needs miyun. But we'll see a little different genre of the question. Mem Vav Amud Aleph, the third line from the top. So Itmar, Ketana Shekadsha Shlola Dadaviyah. Let's say the girl, she's a Ketana, obviously below the age of 12, would accept a Kiddushin without the father's knowledge and consent, which seems to fall within the rubric of what Rav and Shmuel were speaking about. So Amar Rav, and here's Rav again, Bein Hi Veraviyah Yecholna Akev. So Rav says that this girl can still revoke whatever Kiddushin she accepted before the father hears about it. In other words, so Rav says, if the father hears about it and signs off on it, then there's Kiddushin. But here he's saying, let's take a look at the top ration, the where is it? It's the third, the fourth narrow line. Yichol la'akev. Oh, I nearly forgot. Wait, I announced it once. I was so excited. Should have mentioned the daf last night was sponsored by Sol Berger on the occasion of the yahrzeit of his grandmother. I didn't remember to say it last night, but I'll say it tonight. So the daf last night was sponsored Leilu Neshama of Hindel Henna, but Mordechai Cohen, Zichrono Levracha. All right. Any event. So the Gemara says. So let's see the Rashi on the fourth quad narrow line. Yicholakei Po'ul Pshat Kabbalah Lo Nistritzah. Since at the time that the Ketana received the Kiddushin, the father did not sign off on it. Im batalach zor kodem shetratzeha av chozeret. So if the girl wants to retract the Kiddushin before the father signs on to it, she could. Lo bahani tu risu'av. Then the father signing off on it wouldn't do anything. So she still has a right to like an exit plan. Let's see back in the Gemara on the third line. Idmar ketanash ketachesh amarav bein hi bein avia yichol la'akev. So Rav says whether she can either retract it or the father could not sign off on it. Ravasi Amar Avi Avalohi. Ravasi says no. Once she's accepted Kiddushin, so then it's up to the father. The father is good for it, he's good, otherwise not. Okay, now, so focusing on Ravasi Shita, which is Avi Avalohi, the father's in the driver's seat, Eifei Rav Huna the Ravasi's. Rav Huna, who's a Talmid of Rav, posed the following question. So again, Rav has machloket with Ravasi, and Rav Huna is a Talmid of Rav. He asked a question for Ravasi. The Ravasi. Others say it was Rav's son. So it's either Rav's Talmud or Rav's son is posing a question to Ravasi. So this is from a Braisa. The Braisa says Ima'ein. So this is talking about the din of a Mafata. Let me get the pasuk out. It's a pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim. Let me just get it out. 1 second. What pasuk is it? Okay. Make it 15. Okay, so it says, "V'chiyafateh ish betula shelo arasa v'shechav imah." If a man seduces a betula, a virgin. Now, Chazal teach us it's talking about a nara, but the same din would apply to a ketana. V'chiyafateh ish betula shelo arasa. So it's an unmarried betula, and it's consensual. Everybody's on the same page with this. V'shechav imah. Mahor yimharena. So he has to offer her like the ksuba money, then offer to be her husband. And then the next pasuk says, this is what you're referring to, imain. If her father declines that the daughter should be married to this fellow, kesef yishkol kamor, has to pay money, which Chazal teach us it's chamishim shkalim. It's connected to the din of the ones, of the ma'anes. So let's see back in our Gemara. So now our Gemara says, if the father declines, so I know we think that the pasuk in this limud is teaching me that the father could decline the marriage. So I only know the father could decline the marriage. He atzma minayin. How do we know that the girl herself could decline this marriage? Tamalomar, ima'ein, ima'ein. There was a double lashon teaches me that either the girl or the father. Now we think it's talking about a situation, we think, where the mefateh, the seducer, had bia with her, but intending to be kiddushin. In other words, so the paramour, whatever, he's having relations with her, he intends it to be kiddushin, and then this seems to be the situation we're looking for. It could be a katana, and the father could decline the marriage, or the girl could decline the marriage. So that's the kasha against Ravasi. Ravasi says only the father could decline, but we have Lima that even she could. So Amar Lehu Rav. So Rav said to Rav Huna and to Rav Chia, who are either one was in the attack mode here. He says, Amar Lehu Rav, lo tizlu batar ipcha. Don't pursue this sort of like weak line of argument. In other words, I don't think your argument is so good. Don't even pursue it anymore. No, right. Rav is, even though Rav is the bar plug to Ravasi, Rav is like, intellectually honest. You see that a lot of times in Shas, like sometimes like the Gemara will have like the Rav asks answers for Abaye and things like that. He says, Otizubatra Ipcha, Yachol because Ravasi could easily answer this and say, that the pasuk is talking about where the seducer didn't seduce at l'shem isha, it was shlo l'shem isha. So the Gemara said, so it was shlo l'shem isha, so that's nothing to do with anything. So the Gemara says, pitcher shlo l'shem isha rabbi. So do I need a pasuk to teach me that if he was mafateh shlo l'shem isha, that either the girl or the father could decline it? Nobody's even proffering the marriage. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Lomar Shemashalim Knas Kmefuta. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says the pasuk is teaching me that, in other words, let's say subsequently, let's say the father, wants to go forward with the marriage and the girl declines or wants to decline. Once she or the father declines, that invokes the 50 shkalim penalty that he has to pay. In other words, the mefateh has to marry her. If the father declines the marriage, he's got to pay 50 shkalim. So here, the pasuk is teaching me that even if the girl declines the marriage, even though the marriage may go forward because the father has every right to let her marry, right, but still, that will invoke the din of the 50 shkalim. So Amalei Rav Yosef, I hachis, Rav Yosef is bringing a proof that that's the correct pshat. I hachi, hainu detanina. So then it would make sense. That's what we learn in the Brisa. Mahor yimharena lo li'isha. And again, mahor yimharena, mahor means it's like he's got to offer her the super amount of money and part of the marriage. He says shetshricha himenu kiddushin, that he needs to do kiddushin. In other words, the pasuk says mahor yimharena lo li'isha, and indeed he has to offer her kiddushin. It means v'mpital l'shem yishud, and if you would assume that the original pitui was a shemishut, kiddushin lamali. Why would she even need to do kiddushin? So obviously he's bringing proof. We're talking about a case where he didn't intend it to be kiddushin. So Amar Leh Abaye, again, Abaye is Rav Yosef's Talmud. So Abaye is deflecting Rav Yosef's proof. Amar Leh Abaye, sricha kiddushin l'dat aviyah. It could be that he did intend it to be kiddushin, but the original bia. But notwithstanding that, you want to have kiddushin, which the father is happy with, that he's signing off on right now, and like the dot all the I's, cross all the T's, it could be the Torah is saying that he should offer another kiddushin, but that doesn't necessarily, refute the idea that it could have been, be the same kiddushin, even though we're answering not that way. Again, Rav Yosef wants to say it's clear from the pasuk that the original bia was not the same kiddushin, because the Torah says mahor yimharena lo li'isha, meaning he has to offer her the ksuba, and the Braisa says that shetzrichi menu kiddushin, that she now needs kiddushin from him after the pitu. So obviously, the original pitu was not kiddushin. Rav Yosef says no, it could be that the original one was the same kiddushin, but the Torah is saying he should do everything on the up and up. Do everything. Right, everything should be like in a meshlech way. Okay, so again, let's just review what we did, and then we'll go on. So we got into the topic within the Shita of Rav, where if a girl, a katana, had accepted kiddushin, And then the father had not yet signed off on it. Rob says the father could sign off on it, but the father had not yet signed off on it. Does the girl have a right to kind of revoke her acceptance before the father signs off on it? So that was a machloket between Rav and Ravasi. Rav says she could, Ravasi says she can't. So we had there was a question proposed against Ravasi that says imayin imayin. We thought that the girl could refuse, but no, it just means that if at some point in time she declines to be married to this guy, even later on, even though maybe the father could force her to be married to him, that will, invoke the 50 shekel penalty he'll have to pay. That's all it meant. But okay, that's where we're at. Okay, everybody good? Everybody happy? All right.
Is seduction the same as a rape?
No. Seduction means everybody's on the same page. Everybody's consenting. She's happy, he's happy. That's seduction.
That's seduction?
Yeah.
If a man seduces a girl, that is what, everybody's happy on the same page?
Listen, Ruth, the man and the girl agree to have relations. That's pitui, that's seduction.
Interesting.
Wait,
The
what did you
English word seduces has a whole different connotation, very
think?
different.
Which is what?
That a girl could possibly be reluctant or not, but he seduces, he gets her to comply. That's called seduction.
Well, it means like he talks her up and then seduces her, like has a romantic dinner, things like that. Okay, one second.
The rape is also 50. Fine. And that also only pays if he doesn't marry her.
Onus is more damages, right? The rape is more damages.
But also, he only pays a fine if he doesn't marry her.
Kern, are you paying attention?
No. With the rape,
Yeah, you're saying it's like
no.
lashahmeya to
Yeah.
convince her.
Right. With the rape, he owes 50 shekalim,
Right.
but he also owes, I think, like boshet pagam and all the other
That's also
elements
the
in
other
that.
thing. Talking about the fine.
The fine is 50 shekalim.
Does he only pay that, but here, if he doesn't marry her? Because here we said if he doesn't
Yeah.
marry, he's got to pay.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I need to check. Okay. All right. Let's see further in the Gemara. All right. I'm going to go further. Okay. Now we're up to the next Mishnah. Everybody with me? Mem, Vav, and Aleph. We're in the Mishnah midway down the column. Okay. Manitin, Omer Le'isha. This we had already before, but it's always good to review. Manitin, Omer Le'isha, hit kach li b'tmara zu. If a man says to a woman, "I want you to be mekudeshet to me with this date," hit kach li b'zu. And then he says, "Be mekudeshet to me with this date." So date A, date B. If one of them is worth a Shabbat Pruta, she's Mekudesha, Bimla Veina Mekudesha. Otherwise, she's not Mekudesha. We'll see. The Rabbi Libus was saying today, there's a sheet of Shem Shmuel that you had earlier in the Masechta, that if the date, in other words, even if a date is not worth a Shabbat Pruta here, you have to be choshesh, it would be worth a Shabbat Pruta in a different location. So she's safek mikudeshet. So even though the Mishnah says she's not mikudeshet, it would really come out she'd be safek mikudeshet. All right. Then I think he said the post was rid. But anyway, bazoo, bazoo, bazoo. He says, "I want you to be mikudeshet with me with A and with B and with C." In other words, the date with date A, date B, date C. If cumulatively the worth of Shabbat Pruta, Mikudeshet, Bimlavi, and Mikudeshet. Now, this next clause, we're not sure whether it goes on the first case or the second case. Again, we have one case, Hitkachi Li, we're separate, and then it's Bazoo, Bazoo, Bazoo. Haita Ochelet Rishona, Rishona. He's giving her the dates, and she's eating them as he's producing them. He says, "Eina mekudeshet at sheiba achat mihen shavu pruta." She's not mekudeshet unless one of them is worth a shavu pruta. We'll see in the Gemara which case this is going on. Okay, so let's see further in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Man tana hitkachi hitkachi." Who's the Tana who says, and he says hitkachi hitkachi, that breaks it up into separate, proposals of kiddushin? Amar Rabba, Rabbi Shimon. The Amar on Shemar Shvul called a Kavichas. This was the case where different people left donut money, let's say with Reuven, five different people, and Reuven takes a Shvua that he doesn't have any of the Pekdonot, but it's a false Shvua, and then he admits that he lied, but he's going to be Chayev either one or several Korbanot, depending on what he says. So Reb Shimon says, if he says Shvu lecha, Shvu lecha, Shvu lecha, if he says Shvu each one, that will divide it into separate statements. Otherwise, it's one big statement. So we think the same Reb Shimon says Shvu, Shvu, Shvu would say Hitkachi, Hitkachi, Hitkachi is separate statements here. All right, now, the Zu, Bazu, Bazu, and Yesh B'kul and Shav B'kuz B'kule, but so we had two cases in the Mishnah. One case, each case, the man is producing dates. In one case, he says Hitkachi Libazu, and he says Hitkachi Libazu, and if anyone is worth a Shava Prutza, she's Mekudeshet. And if it's not, she's not Mekudeshet. Then the next case is Bazu, 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 with this, and with that, and with that, and with that. So the Tana said if there's Shava Prutza amongst all of them, then she's Mekudeshet. Then the last case is if she was eating it, eating the dates, so she's not Mekudeshet unless one of them is worth a Shava Prutza. We'll see in a minute. So Bazu, 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 Yemiesh, Bakul, and Shava Prutza, Kulei, Ahei. So which case does the last case, we have A and B and then C. So C relates either to A or C relates to B. Ilema Aresha, if we say C where she's eating the dates relates to the first case. So the Tana would be saying if he gives her a date and then Hitkachi the Bazu, even any date is worth a Shabbat Kuz Mekdeshet, and then he's saying if she's eating it, if she's eating it, he says if one of them is worth the Shabbat Pruta, she's Mekudeshet. It could be one she ate. So he says, Ilema Maresha, Mayir Ya Ochelet. So what difference does it make that she's eating the dates? Even if it's like in front of her. In other words, whether she eats the date and it's worth the Shabbat Pruta, or it's in front of her on the table and it's worth the Shabbat Pruta. He says, Hitkachi li bazu kamar. In other words, he gives her the date. He says, Hitkachi li bazu. So what difference does it make if the date, if she ate the date, or he put the date on the table? If the date's worth a Shabbat Pruta, she's Mekudeshet, if otherwise she's not. So we don't think that could be the case. Ela Seifa. So we think it's talking about the Seifa case. Now, the Seifa case is he's giving date A, B, date C, date D, and E, and he's putting them all on the table. But before he can put them all out, she ate the beginning part of it. So he says, Vafilu b'kamaita. You mean, even if the first date she ate was worth a Shava Pruta, she's Mekudeshet? So in other words, it means like this. He intends to be Mekadisher with all the dates. But the Kiddushin is not over until he finishes his statement and puts all the dates out. And then, but he already ate the first date. So the Gemara wants to say, you mean if the first date was worth a pruta and she ate it, she's Mekudeshet, Bahamilvahi. That first date, if she's eating it, she's eating it before he's even given it to her. In other words, this is the proposal, dearest. It's 10 dates. And before he gets to date three, she ate date one. So then that date is really like a halva'a. In other words, it's like she's eating something that belonged to him. And she owes him the date unless she's Mekudeshet. He says, so now a milva, we know that the Mekadesh milva ain't a Mekudeshet, is not Mekudeshet. In other words, so it would, with the Tana Mishnah be saying, if the date she ate was worth Shava Pruta, so then that's like a Halva'a, and then she'd be Mekudeshet. So Amrib Yochran, Arei Shulchan, Arei Basar, Arei Sakin, here we have the table, the meat, the knife, the ain lanu le'achol. We can't eat. Meaning, we don't even understand the pshat in the Mishnah. We, in other words, we have a long line of the Mishnah. It sounds simple, and we can't even figure out what the pshat is. So Rabbi Shmuel, Amri Tarvayu, so Rabbi Shmuel both say, Leola Maresha, that it relates to the first case, Hitkachili, you know, Bitmarazu, Hitkachili Bitmarazu. Veloma Baye Kamar, and the thrust of the Mishnah is that it goes without saying, meaning, Loma Baye Manachat. It goes without saying if the date is on the table and it's worth a Shabbat Pruta Shem Mekudesha, Di'ika Shabbat Pruta in Ilolo, Shabbat Pruta Shem Mekudesha Lola is not, Aval Ochelet, but if she's eating the date, and let's say the date is not worth a Shabbat Pruta, I would think, so I would think that she's eating this date, and obviously she wants the date, and she's eating it right away, that since it brings her so much immediate hana'a, that to her it's worth a shava pruta. In other words, on the marketplace, maybe it's not a shava pruta, but to her, it's worth a shava pruta. So I would have thought that maybe she's mekudeshet even if it's not worth a shava pruta. So kama shvalan. So therefore, the Mishnah is teaching me, no, even if she eats it, if it's worth a shava pruta, she's mekudeshet. Otherwise, not. Again, the man is giving her dates. He says hitkachli bazu, and hitkachli bazu. So she eats the first date. The first date, let's say, was not worth a shava pruta. But I would have thought, had the Mishnah, that she gets such a media hana from it that for her it is worth a shava pruta. In other words, the fair market value of the date is not a shava pruta, but to her it's worth a shava pruta. So maybe she's mekudeshet. So kama shvalan, not this way. Okay, so then the pshat in the Mishnah means when it says haytav chelad rishon rishonei shava pruta, so one of them is actually worth a pruta. She's mekudeshet, otherwise not. Okay, let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause. Five lines from the bottom. Rabbi Ami Amar, Li'olam HaSeifa. Rabbi Ami says, no, that line of being worth Shabbat Prut is going on the Seifa case. The Seifa is when he says, you're Mekdesh bazoo, 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 umayat sheba chatmi and Shabbat Prutah. What does it mean that if one of them has a Shabbat Prutah, achi ba'achrona Shabbat Prutah, if the last date is worth a Shabbat Prutah, meaning he's taking out five dates and he intends to bring out all five dates and say, you're Mekdesh to me with all five dates. But instead, she eats the four dates before he gets to date number five. So each date one through four is like a milveh. We said that if she's eating enough beforehand, he didn't even give it to her yet, so it's like a halva. So that can't be the kiddushin. But the last date, if that's worth a shava pruta, that could be the kiddushin, and that's what the Tana is saying. So the Tana is saying if she's busy eating the dates that he's giving her, and he says bazoo, 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 let's see back in the Mishnah. So he says, one of them, it means if the last one is worth a Shava Pruta, that's when he makes the final proposal. He says, like he finishes his proposal with the last date, then she's Mekudeshet. Let me just do a few lines. I'll pause in just another five lines, okay? So the Gemara says, through four lines to the bottom, Amar Rava, Shmaminam bid Rabbi Ami Tla. So Rava says we can extrapolate three dinim from Rabbi Ami's pshat. Rabbi Ami's pshat is that date one to four is alone, but date five doesn't. He says, Shmami na mekadesh milveh and mekudeshet. You see clearly, mekadesh milveh is not mekudeshet because that's why he says it's the last date. Shmami na mekadesh milveh pruta died to the pruta. In addition to which, if a man is mekadesh a woman with a milveh and a pruta, because in other words, after she eats the four dates and he gives her the fifth date, and he says, you're Mekudesh to me with A and B and C and D and E, now he completes the proposal or whatever you want to call it. So her das is on the pruta. In other words, her das, in other words, Mekadesh milveh ain't a Mekudeshet. But if a person is Mekadesh with a milveh and a pruta, means the woman's mind is on the pruta. Because what Mishnah is saying with Rabbi Ami, that if the last date is worth a pruta, she's Mekudeshet with that last date, not with the previous four dates. Even though that's a halva, in other words, and then turn page, Ushmamina ma'ud ba'alma chozrin. In addition to which, we're seeing if kiddushin are not kiddushin, we don't say the money is a gift. We say the money has to go back. It's pigadon because we're calling it a milveh. So if it's not going to be kiddushin, then she owes the money. So if a man proposes to a woman and she doesn't, but not our secular proposal, but I mean like kiddushin, and she declines it. Then the ring goes back to the husband. In other words, here you're seeing that the first date's alone, right? So it goes back. Okay, now time for questions, comments, and thoughts.
What do we learn about the?
Wait. Yosef asked a question. I'll come to you in 1 second. Yosef asked, does she know how many dates he's going to give? Now, I don't know if she knows that, but she's eating the dates before he finishes the proposal. Anyway, all right, then what else? What do you got, Fern?
So objectively, this needs to have a fair market value of a pruta, despite the hana'a she's getting from it. Is that what we take away?
Well, that's one thing you could take away.
Right, because as she's ingesting these dates,
Right.
then perhaps the fair market value is no longer knowable.
Well, no, I don't know about that, Fern. Come on, like a date is a date is a date. A date a date. They know how much a date goes in this locality. I mean, this date isn't so unusual. I guess some super date. This is the same date as the other date. Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
Yeah, she should have been on Weight Watchers.
All right. All right. All right. All right. Let's take a look. All right.
Definitely before our wedding.
All right. All right. All right. Let's see further in the Gemara. All right.
She's going to question him.
All right. All right. Okay, let's focus. Everybody's going to mute themselves again. Okay, the top line of Mvav Beis. Everybody with me? Okay. Now, Itmar HaMakadish Achoto. Let's say a person gives Kiddushin to his sister. Now, the issue is obviously not Mekudeshin. Obviously no Kiddushin. But the issue is, who gets the money? Now, a moment ago, we said the amount of Chozrim, but Bali Post would explain, according to the art scroll, that in the first case, there was a possibility it would be Kiddushin. With the sister, there's no chance it'll ever be Kiddushin. So it may be a different halach about the Mount Chozrim or not. We'll see in a minute. Itmar, Makadish Akoto, Rav Amar Maud Chozrim. Rav says he gets the money back. If he says, Ushmul Amar Maud Matana. Shmuel says, no, the money is actually a gift to the sister. Rav Amar Maud Chozrim, Rav says the money goes back. Adam Yudayashin Kiddushin Tovsin Ba'achoto. He says that people know that Kiddushin are not Tofes with the person's sister. The Gamar Benatan Lashon Pikadon. And he really wanted it to be a Pikadon. He wanted her to be a Shomeret on the money. But Lame Allah Lashon Pikadon. So why doesn't he just say, I want you to be a Shomeret for this? Savar Lamakabla. He thought she won't accept it that way. So he creates this sort of ruse. He says, you're Mekudeshin to me with this $100 or something like that. And then, so who gets the money now? So Rav says he gets it back because he never intended to be a gift. It's just Pikano. Shmuel Savar Mount Matana. Shmuel holds that the money, I said 100. Obviously, today we just do like something simple, but let's say it would be that way. Shmuel Savar Mount Matana. Adam Yudhiya Shein Kiddushin Tovsin Ba'akoto. He also agrees with Rav that people typically know that the Kiddushin are Tovsin with a sister. The Gamar Benatan Lashem Matana. But he says the brother intends it to be a gift to the sister. So why doesn't he say, I'm giving you a gift? He's afraid that she'll feel embarrassed. She doesn't want to accept the gift. He says, you know, I'm a Kaddish, because this is your Kesef Kiddushin, whatever. Okay, so the bottom line is, we have Machlok between Rav and Shmuel. Is the money Choser? Does the money go back to the brother? Or does she get to keep the money? Okay. Exactly right. Okay, so everybody with me? All right, now, Matib Ravina. Now, Ravina is going to ask a kasha against, I think, Shmuel. Shmuel said the Maor Matana. Hamafrish chalato kemach. Now, we know that one of the matnos kahuna is chala. When a person makes dough, he has to be mafrish chala and give a portion to the kohen. Now, before it has to be dough before he can do the mitzvah of hafrash chala. Here we have a person, mafrish chalato kemach. He had a bowl of flour, and he took some of the flour and gave it to the Kohen as his challah. Ain't no challah. So the Tana Brisa says it's not challah because the chi of challah didn't click in yet. Begezel biyad Kohen. And the Tana says it's thievery in the hands of the Kohen. Biyamai gezel biyad Kohen. Why is that considered thievery in the hands of the Kohen? Nema, we should say, Adam Yudei Hashem HaFrish Nechallah Kemach, that people know that you can't separate challah from flour, but atan l'shem atana, and that the donor intended it to be a gift. So just like Shmuel, there's a kashan Shmuel, right? Shmuel said that with the brother and the sister, the ma'at or matana, because everybody knows Kiddushin are in Tofes, he intends it as a gift, but here we have a person giving flour to the Kohen, and everybody knows the flour can't be challah, and yet the Tana categorizes it as gezel, and presumably he's going to give it back to the donor. So that's a kasha against Shmuel. How come Shmuel says that it's a matana if everybody knows about it, and here everybody knows about it, and it's not a matana? So Shani Hatam Dinafi Churva Mina. So the Gemara says, if we permit the Kohen to keep this chala, the kemach as chala, it's going to lead to bad problems. I mean, in Achinami, it is a matana, basically. But for policy considerations, we have to consider it to be gezel, and he has to give it back to the donor. Why? Sometimes the Kohen might have in his house less than a kav and a quarter. 1.25 kav is a minimum shear for challah. So the Kohen's got less than five rabbayim, five quarters, less than the shear of challah. Bahai ali shlei bahadi adani. Now he takes the flour that somebody just gave him as his hafrashas challah and he kneads it together. The kasavar nitakna isato. He thinks, what could be wrong with the dough? Because the other one I got as a gift. He says, Ba'ati l'mechla b'tivla. And then he'll come to eat it without hafrashas challah. So to avoid this problem, we say the Kohen should give it back to the donor. But really, technically, you're right, it is a gift. In other words, it was a matana, and people know it was a gift. Wait, three lines will come to it. So the Gemara says, Vaha'amart Adam Yudhi Hashem HaFrishat Challah Kemach. But you just said a moment ago that everybody knows that that kemach flour can't be challah. So what are you saying? The Kohen realizes that, you know, like he thinks it's taken from it. So Yodeya Ve'en Yodeya, he knows and he doesn't know. He says, Yodeya Shei Mafrish Challah Kemach, he, the typical Kohen, knows that you don't give flour as part of the Hafresh Challah. Ve'en Yodeya, the Savart Ma'amai, he doesn't realize what the reason. He thinks what the reason that you can't give Kemach as Challah is Shem Tircha the Kohen. Because, in other words, that he erroneously thinks the reason you can't give Kemach as Challah is because it creates too much of a burden on the Kohen to process it and turn it into dough. So therefore, you have to be mafresh the dough. The real reason is the Torah says, Reishita reisil teichem chalila tarimu truma. The Torah says, from the first of your dough, you should be mafresh it. So the Kohen who receives this sort of erroneous challah as kemach as challah, he thinks it's a good hafresh as challah, and he'll take that and join it with other flour that nothing was mufresh from, and now create a dough, and really it's chayim and hafreshes challah, and he's not going to separate any challah from it. Okay, so that's the problem. But really, though, in Achinami, the typical donor knows that you're not, you know, that you don't mafresh kemach challah, and he gave it to the Kohen, and it is a matana. And when the Tana calls it gezel, it means that he should return it to the donor. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we have so far? The concern is the Kohen will take food that no truma has been taken from, no challah has been taken from, and he will eat it, you know, without the challah being separated. He received the kemach as challah, which is zero. He erroneously thinks it is challah. He knows you're not allowed to give kemach as challah, but he thinks the reason is so not to create extra work for the Kohen. So under his misapprehension, he thinks this flour is like kosher now. And then he's got how many cobs? He's got, you know, another amount of flour in the house that also no challah was taken from, but we didn't think was enough shear. So he joins that flour with this flour, and now he's got the shear where challah should be separated, and he's not going to separate it because he thinks that he's got no problem. Again, if it's below the shear, you don't have to separate it. The shear is five quarter cow. But he thinks that part of it was already taken care of. So it's already water under the bridge with that. It's got the, like in his mind, like the OU Hexer on it. Okay. But any other questions, counsel to us, anything we did so far? We're going to come to it right now. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay. Let's go on. Now, Okay. So he says, so Mishum Tircha the Kohen, Matircha the Kohen Achilte. So the Kohen, it was Mokal on his Tircha. So now the Gemara says, Viteve Truma Blote Achelet Shatila Chalam Yuakom Achea. So before the Gemara gets to the Donor, the Gemara says, now when the Gemara says, why can't we treat like Truma? It means, why can't we let the Kohen keep this flour, which wasn't separated properly? He says, and but we'll instruct him not to eat from it unless you know, challah is separated from it. Milo Tanan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah Masechet Demai, that a nakuv al she'eno nakuv. Let's say a person, nakuv is the perforated pot. An enonakov is a pot. It's not perforated. So if it's a perforated pot, anything that grows in the pot is viewed as growing from the ground, and that's a chiyuv truman adoraisa level and masrot. And if it's the non-perforated pot, it's only chayiv on a drabanan level. So we learn the Mishnah in Masechet Devar, Milo Tzan, Minanakov al Shenonakov. If a person separated truma that was chayiv on a derais, he took crops that were chayiv on a derais level and he used it for truma for the crops that are not chayiv truma on a derais level. So nevertheless, it's truma. It has a chalo shen truma. Velo te'achel, but it shouldn't be eaten. Ad sheyotzi ala truma maaser mekom acher. In other words, you shouldn't eat the eno nakov until you take truma maaser from a different place. So we've seen that sometimes we give people instructions, even though ostensibly truma has been separated, we give them instructions what to do to correct the situation. So why can't we give this kohen instructions what to do and call it a day? So the Gemara says, betray mani tzayit. When there are two kalim, the kohen will listen to it. In other words, like if you tell a kohen, like there was one, this grew in one pot, this grew in the other pot, and now you need to take, like other truma has to be taken care of. So people will listen to that instruction. That they'll listen to. B'chad mana lo tzayit, but where it came from one bowl, and it's like just one bowl of flour, and we say, you know, you need two more, people won't listen to that instruction. That's the idea. So, one second. Let's look at Rashi, the fourth medium wide line. B'shnei mani tzayit, nakav shen nakav shen kein lehim, b'chi amar l'kohen chazur ba'afreish aleha. If we tell a kohen, go and separate shetevelhu, that in other words, you have to separate because this ostensible truma he gave you was really tevel. It's not, in other words, it's not really a shame truma on it. So you have to separate more for this thing. He'll listen to you. But chad mana, but if it's in one keli, don't chalav kemach shetla kemach anotar sham. Kiamri the kohen in a chalav. We tell the kohen it's not chalav. The zorba freisha lo tzay lechalav pichas zero. So he won't listen to you. He said, give it back to the donor. Okay. All right. Who's got questions? Thomas Phillips.
Malka does, but her mic isn't working. So she
sent me the crate.
She wants to know why Kohanim have to do Hafrashat Challah since the Challah is for them.
Because it wasn't separated properly and it's not really Challah. Do you understand? Malka, if you're listening to this message, and I hope you do, Malka, I can't even see you. Can I see your picture so I can see the thumbs up or not? Let me see a picture. All right, no picture. Anyway, it means somebody gave flour to the Kohen under the guise that it was challah, which is one of the Matno Kuna. But it was not challah. It was in reality zero. Zero. So he has flour from which challah has not yet been, which will be processed into dough, challah was not separated from. It should be separated. So that's why he's got to do more. Okay, can you read, to type the question to Malka and ask her if that answers her question? Now, I can't hear you now, Fern.
She just tried to call me and it
all right, and I'm it stopped. All right. If she gets on later, well, what's up? In other words, this is crop that grew from a deraisa group.
Right.
So he's taking that crop and separating it ostensibly as truma for a non-deraisa group. So what does that really mean? So on a deraisa level, what does that mean? That the other crop was not chayiv and truma at all. Right. So the designation on a deraisa level is a zero, right? So it's tevel. So it's that's tevel. It's an untied product. Okay. It's not going to be better. It sounds better.
Her camera's not working either.
Okay. I got it. What's up, Gabriel? We're on Mem Vav and Beis, page 92. Around 20 lines. 92.
I will do that.
Okay. Around 20 lines from the bottom. Okay. All right. Now, let's get back in the Gemara. Okay. Now. Okay. Now, Be'ibayde, are you with me? Okay. The ebayt ema, or else I could say, the olam kohen meitz tzayit. In achinami, the second answer is the kohen will listen to our directions. The kohen who got this, you know, chalat kemach, he will listen to our directions. That's not the problem. B'kasavar, but the Tana holds, balabayit nitakna isato, ba'ati l'mechla b'tivlo, that the balabas, the donor, will come to eat his isa, and it's really tevo. Ba'amri nadam yudhi yashem afrishnath chala kemach, but you just said, the yisod is that people know that you can't take flour as chala. Why would he think that he has done a good job? Yodeya ve'eni yodeya. So that which we ascribed to the coin before, now we're going to ascribe to the donor. It's around 15 lines from the bottom. We have it, Gabriel. Yodeya ve'eni yodeya. Okay. Yodeya shema frishin chala kemach. The donor knows that you can't separate flour as chala. Ve'eno yodeya. But he doesn't know the reason. Desavar tamamai mishum tircha de kohen. He thinks the reason I can't give the coin just flour is because it creates too much of a burden for the cup. He says, tircha de coin kibla lei, but the coin here accepted it, so he was good with it. So he thinks he's good, you know, but yeah, but he's good, but he's not good. So the Gemara says, v'teve truma v'yachsor v'yitrom. Now, when it says truma, it doesn't mean literally truma. Why can't we let the coin keep the flour that was given and v'yachsor v'yitrom, meaning that the donor will now go and separate properly from the flour. He says, in other words, let's say there was a bowl of flour and he separated a certain amount of flour as challah, but that was not effective. So why can we say let the coin keep the flour and let the donor now be mafrish challah properly? Milo tenan, didn't we learn this Mishnah, which is going over what we learned above? Misha'ino nakov ala nakov, if a person designated truma that was chayv on a deraisa level for as truma for something that was chayv on a drabana level, truma, so we nevertheless let the kohen keep it, he says, v'yachsor v'yitrom, but the person has to go and separate properly, in other words, in a drabana for drabana. So the Gemara says, ha'ukimna betrei mani, tzayit, b'chad manalot tzayit. So we said already before, people will listen to you. If there's two kalim, they get it. I took from the wrong kalim to this kalim, I got it. But when it's one kalim, I'm not going to listen. I think I did this already. The lo tzayit, I mean, he won't listen. In other words, the person has a bowl of flour. He separated some of the flour, he gives to the kohen. So we want to say, let the kohen keep the flour, now you separate challah properly. But we think that the donor will not listen to our instructions. Because he figures, I did it well, good enough already. What's one flour, another flour, whatever. So below tzayit, he wouldn't listen. For Hatznan, we learn another Mishnah Masechet Trumot, Hatorim Kishut. If a person is taking Truma for cucumbers, Benim Samara, and then the Truma that he took turned out to be bitter. In other words, he took out a bitter cucumber. Avatiach, or a melon, Benim Sisaruach, and it turns to be a rotten melon. Truma V'yachsor V'yitrom. So we say the part that he designated is good Truma, but he needs to take again. So the Gemara says, so we see that even though a person has taken, he will listen to us. So the Gemara says, Shani Hatam to be the right to Truma Ma'al Yehi. So the case over there is different because really he's already Yotze on a Duraisa level. In other words, the bad Truma that he separated is going to be Truma. But we're telling him he should take other Truma, but it's just a Chashash on his Rabban level. Means Rabbi Eloi. The Amar Rabbi Eloi, Minayin the Torah Min Ra'al Yafash Truma Truma. How do we know if you took, in other words, you had your tvu is grade A, and you take like the grade C tvu as the truma. How do you know that that's still an effective designation of truma? Shene'emar, it says in Parshat Korach, lo tisu lav chet barim chemet chelbo. You won't bear iniquity when you take chelbo, means like the best of it. Im eno kadosh, in other words, you should take the best so you don't bear avera. Im eno kadosh nisid chet lama. So if it has no kedusha, why would you call the nisid chet? So from here we see that would be a good, you know, separation of truma. Okay, one second. So one thing. So it means even if the person disregards our instructions with the abatiach or the kishut, he'll still be yotze on a deraisa level. So we're not so concerned about it. But here, with the chak, in other words, the Gemara says here, the donor had a bowl of flour. He took some of the flour, gave it to the kohen. So why can't we just instruct him? You need to say, He won't listen. We're afraid he won't listen. So is that true? But we see that that we have a different case where we give the person instructions and we're not afraid he won't listen. He took the rotten melon as truma, and we're going to tell him to take another melon. And we assume he'll do it. So the Gemara says that it might be he might not do it, but the worst case scenario is not so bad, because he was Yosei on a Daraisa level, and the worst case he won't be Yosei on a Drabanan level. So we're not going to be so concerned. But here, even on Daraisa level, he's not Yosei. It says you should separate the best and don't sin by not taking the best. So it's saying, if it's not even a designation of truma, how am I sinning? In other words, the sin is I designate something that's inferior for truma. But if it's not even truma, I didn't do anything. Okay, all right. Now let me just do a little bit from some of the sheets, and then that I think they'll be it. One second. Today is Daf Mem Vav. Okay. Now, all right. Let me go back to the case we had earlier about Mekadish Achoto. So Shmuel said Ma'ot Matana. Remember, if a person was Mekadish's sister, so Shmuel says the money is a gift, that he really intends that the money is a gift, but he's afraid that the sister will be embarrassed about it. Now, Rav disagrees and maintains that although it is well known that one cannot marry his sister, maybe he wanted to be Pikadon. Okay, now the Rambam rules in accordance with Shmuel and indicates that Shmuel's halach is not limited to one who marries his sister, but rather applies also to one who knowingly grants kiddushin to an Eish and Ish. Let's say you go to a married woman, and let's say we wouldn't do this anymore today, but let's say I take $1,000 and give it to the married woman. I see him Mekudesh it to me. Since it's common knowledge, kiddushin cannot take effect with an Eish and Ish, we can assume the money was given as a gift and she need not return it. So if I go to a married woman and say, here's your Kesef kiddushin, that's a gift, we think. That's the way the Rambam rules. The Rush argues that perhaps Shmuel's halakha is limited to kiddushin money given to a family member. However, one gives money to a strange woman, means not family, we cannot assume that he intends to be a gift, even though she's an Eish and Ish, and he knows kiddushin cannot take effect with her, because it's not so common to give a stranger a gift. In other words, more common you give like a family member a gift than a stranger. Rather, you must entertain the possibility he intended to give her the money for safekeeping, as Rav says with the sister. So that's one piece, okay? All right, now.
Malka has a follow-up question.
Okay.
From before.
It sounds like a radio program where they're like a call-in program where they're reading the questions. Okay, go ahead.
Ask Malka, right. If the Kohen turns the flour into dough, challah would not have been taken. But she says Kohanim do cook for themselves. Do they take out challah when they bake bread?
So if a Kohen is baking bread, he's under an obligation to take challah from it. That's correct. So then, right. So if it would be in Eretz Yisrael, on the basis of it, he could eat himself. Now we mafish the challah, we burn a piece of it. But if, because challah has to be in the state of Tahara, the food has to be in the state of Tahara. But in Achinami, there's a chiv hafrash of challah for Kohen itself. Any other questions? Let's go through. It's interesting with the writing thing. Okay, now, all right.
Right. Rabbi, a question regarding the married woman who gets the money. Maybe he didn't know she was married. He thought she was single, gave her the money.
So the case in our Gemara was the Kaddish Achoto. The case in the Gemara was he gave Kiddushin to his sister. He knows the sister, is not susceptible to Kiddushin. That was the case we discussed. But then we in the sheet, the Al Hadaf sheet, he got into the issue, what if I give the money to an Eish and Ish? So with that, you want to say maybe he didn't know it was an Eish and Ish. That would add like another fly in the ointment, the whole thing. But assuming he knew it was an Eish and Ish, that's the case we're talking about. Okay? All right. I'm going to move on. Okay? Everybody with me? So
based on this topic, we're saying he does sin if he gives the inferior
tumor. Right. Right.
Yotze,
right. In other words, you should do the right way is to give the best. You're giving them the lousy part. You do, right. Okay, now. All right. Now, here's a story. I need everybody to mute themselves, which they're not doing, but I'll help you out with this really soon. There we go. All right. We have many more people on Zoom than in live today. You've got the Zoom crowd is 6 people, and the live crowd with me is three. All right, so you double.
Who's there? Yosef and Rafi?
No, Yosef and Gabriel is here.
All right.
Well
done, gentlemen.
All right, now ready for the story. Okay, a certain man was very poor, but he had a good heart. He enjoyed pledging a prutit stuck, and even though he could hardly afford it, somebody needs to mute themselves. He enjoyed pledging a prutit stuck, even though he could hardly afford even that paltry sum. He would often give a half prutit to a deserving poor man. Later, he would give him the second half prutit to fill his vow. Someone pointed out to this poor man that it was not at all clear that by paying out a half prutit at a time, he had fulfilled the conditions of his vow. After all, he has already used the first half pruta before he receives the second. So how do you know the two join together? How many times have you tried to fill your vow in this manner? The poor man was devastated since he had repaid his vow countless times in this manner. So he made all these, so he consulted with his rabbi, but the local rabbi was unsure and asked the famous Ben Ishchai. The Ben Ishchai answered, we can learn about this question from the Mishnah Panach Kedushin Mem Vav. Then we see that if a person told a woman to marry him with one date and then says the same with another, marriage only takes effect if one of the dates is worth the pruta. But if he says, marry me with this date and this date and this date, they are married as the value of all the dates together, at least the pruta. If he was either the dates as he gave them, it's only worth if one of the dates is worth the pruta. The Rambam adds, if in the final case he said, marry me with these dates, the marriage takes effect. This is the ruling of the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch as well. Similarly, in our case, since he didn't specify that he will give the pruta one time, it makes no difference if the first half was consumed before the poor person received the second half. As long as the same poor person received both halves, he's fulfilled his vow. Okay, anyway, let me end the recording. That'll be it. 1 second.